This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Grant and Danny, welcoming you back on 106.7 The Fan. January's 20 days old. We're headed toward the division round of the playoffs Saturday and Sunday. End of this weekend. It's a little sad to say, by the way. There's only going to be two teams left in each conference. We're down to the conference championship games after this weekend.
Escalated quickly, didn't it?
The NFL playoffs will do that to you.
It went from, there are too many teams. It's so annoying to, after this weekend, you're down to four.
It is time to break out the Sharpie. Got to start grading the papers, Danny. Let's grade another position group for the Washington football team. We're going to deal with the linebacker position today. And I think we need to start with the fact that they made a major investment at the linebacking position in the first round in Jamin Davis. And Jamin Davis did not deliver.
No, he did not. He did not at all. He didn't play very much. And the excuses and the bar that got lowered and lowered and lowered and lowered where he would have a tackle or be in the right position that time. And everybody said, see? No. The proof, rather, is in the pudding. And the pudding in this case is playing time.
All right, LBs, your time to be graded is right now.
It's time for Grant and Danny to watch the film, tally up the stats, take out their red pens, and grade the football team. They're going position by position and telling you which positions are star and which one stunk for the Washington football team.
So here's everything you need to know about the linebacker spot. Is after the John Bostic injury early this season, they just didn't even try to use three linebackers anymore. In a traditional sense. Remember, Ron Rivera came on the Junkies and basically told them what they were going to do. He said, we can run with two linebackers, use Buffalo nickel packages, have some of our safeties come down. And eventually, Landon Collins was basically a linebacker who played the third safety role because they would use two safeties on the back end in Bobby McCain, who led the team with three interceptions, had two in week 18, and Cam Curl, who might be their best player in their secondary, one of their best players overall on defense, the seventh-round pick last year. But it allowed them to use Landon Collins in that capacity, so I guess he'd be part of this conversation. I'll say that I feel a lot better about the performance of the linebacking core when you include the second half that Landon Collins had. He was impactful. He came downhill and blew some things up in the box. Mm-hmm. He was good against the run. He was good, I think, against pass catchers out of the backfield occasionally in space, that Denver game specifically. I mean, he was so good in space against the Broncos that day. I thought that was kind of the whole dream when you bring him in of what you're expecting. What I don't know, though, is obviously there's a lot of money to pay him if you bring him back next year. He basically was on the record as saying, I don't want to do this. He did not want to be a linebacker. He was not happy about that transition. He basically made it seem like this is a short-term fix to help the team because we don't have enough healthy linebackers. That is the role he should be playing. He shouldn't go back to being a safety. Is he going to want to do that? Is that going to lead to a butting of heads? And if so, is he going to be here next year?
Yeah, it is the question. So for Collins, fourth on the team in sacks, by the way. Third on the team in tackles. I mean,
How many sacks did he have? Two and a half?
He had three, but he took to the role. I mean, he's making tackles in the backfield. He was second in TFLs on the roster. To your point about playing downhill and getting upfield and making plays, that's where he's good. Away from the line of scrimmage, having to run with people is very bad. It's very bad. So there's two ways to look at it, right? You go, hey, they found something in Landon Collins, and they did, and that's good. The way I look at it, though, I think the other side of that coin, I think you have to say, their linebacking position was so lacking. They had to take a safety that didn't want to change positions and basically use him as a glorified linebacker And you knew it, at some point he was going to get hurt because he's got to take on, you know, tight ends, pulling guards, fullbacks, and a bunch of contact there close to the line of scrimmage. And, of course, Collins ends up getting hurt. It's not a measure you should be taking, right? You should have, especially if you have a first-round linebacker who you drafted to be a middle linebacker who now you acknowledge isn't that. To me, the positives in this category, you're 100% right, by the way. Collins thrived in that role.
So let's just separate him as a win. I want to say Cole Holcomb's a win as well.
And this is where I was going. To me, the line, it's the same way the defensive line was carried by John Allen's performance. Linebackers were carried by Cole Holcomb. I thought he was bona fide this year. Not just good for them, but legit good.
Early in the year, he was inconsistent, in my opinion. Like, there were a couple games in there where he struggled some. As the year went on, I thought you really started to get a stellar performance every single week from Cole Holcomb. Starting, I'd say, right around the Vegas game on down the stretch. Dallas, both Phillies, the Giants. When, you know, all the defenders around him were dropping like flies, he was fantastic. They also used him a little bit differently. In the last few weeks of the season, remember, they started trying to use him off the ball a little bit more often on the outside because they think that's his future. You let him run a little bit more, ask him to cover a little differently than they had, and you saw him break up a couple passes, dropping with into space, not only in zone, but running downfield with some of the wheel routes you're seeing out of the backfield from backs.
He's running with guys.
He was hanging with guys with his speed. He made a total of 31 tackles in the last three games. He had over 10 tackles per game in four of the last five and five of the last seven games of the season. He was their best linebacker. It's not close. I think he is a good football player. I'm not sure Cole Holcomb's ever going to make a Pro Bowl, but I think if you run something more traditional in the 43, where you've got a Mike linebacker and then two guys off the ball outside, Cole Holcomb being one of those linebackers, you're in a fine spot. He's a win as a fifth-round pick out of North Carolina. He can play. And I'd rather him not be my best linebacker, and I'd rather him not be a top, you know, three or four player on my defense, which was the case a lot of weeks. But I like Cole Holcomb. I think he's become a very, very solid option. By the way, he played 100% of defensive snaps in all but one game this year, according to Pro Football Reference. And that was a game where he got banged up a little bit against the Falcons. But otherwise, he did not come off the field.
So among your tackling machine linebackers, right? Because to me, there are two kinds. There are, well, you could say three if you count coverage linebackers. But there's the, he's just going to be there. He's going to make the tackle, run to the football, swarm, do the business. The other is that playmaker, that fumble, forcing, pass, tipping, dynamic kind of difference maker that may not have the consistency. So of the tackling machines, he was 10th in the league in tackles, right? So the guys that are the top 10, you're not going to see the sacks, the interceptions, and some of those things. Among those guys, if you follow all my criteria that I'm giving you here, he forced the most fumbles, deflected the most passes, which tells you that he was active. Was making tackles for loss, hitting the quarterback.
Plays.
He was making more plays than your average tackling machine.
Do you remember the tackle he made in the end of the season on the goal line, coming across the formation? It was a home game at FedEx. On TV, they would have been going left to right. If you're at the game, it's like the far end zone across from where they come out of the tunnel, so the south end zone. But I'm trying to think if it would have been, must have been the Philly game. And it was, you know, they ended up scoring on the fourth and goal. It was the third and goal run off like left tackle, left edge. And Cole Holcomb came across the formation and blew the play up with just a grown man tackle inside the 3 or 4 yard line. To me, that's what he is at his best. He's physical. He's fast. The term, forgive this, like in football, is he shoots his gun. Like he is going to basically read and react and like He's coming downhill with speed.
Yep.
He's not going to wait around. He's kind of the opposite in a lot of ways of Jamin Davis in that regard, who's tentative, who has to see everything to believe it. They got a little better as the year went on, and that happens sometimes with young players, but that was kind of the frustration. We'll get to him in a second. But overall, I liked where Cole Holcomb was at. All right, now we go to Jamin Davis. Has to be said he got better as the year went, as you'd expect. Preseason, I thought it was like cringeworthy. Early season, it was, oh no, this is a big problem. By the end of the year, made a great tackle on a fourth down and short. He was unblocked, in fairness, to someone saying, well, let's settle down. But he flashed a few times. He had a sack. Now, there's always caveats with this. The sack was like a coverage sack where it was like the second or the third attempt to leave the pocket.
Fraction of a yard behind the line of scrimmage.
Ran right into Jamin Davis, who wasn't playing that much that day because a guy that was elevated from the practice squad or some special teamer was playing in front of him because he's, quote-unquote, better on the inside. And they've already moved Jamin Davis's position. When he was drafted, They were talking about Luke Kuechly. They were talking about Mike Linebacker. They were talking about the quarterback of the defense. Now they're saying he's not a Mike Linebacker for right now. I don't know what else you need to know to say that they got this thing wrong.
It's alarming, to be frank with you, that we went that quickly in terms of evaluation and grade and prognosticating somebody's future and how good they're going to be to not only is he going to be losing snaps to David Mayo, to practice squad guys at times throughout the course of the season, to converted safeties, et cetera. We're just going to go with two linebackers, sometimes one in some of these alignments, and be at a weakness just in terms of personnel groupings we're forced to make. The snap counts, again, are just glaring when you look at some of these over the course of a season. Not because of injury, right? He was in that. He was had 13 snaps against the New Orleans Saints, for example. 13 snaps against the Philadelphia Eagles in a game at the end of the season when there's not much to play for other than pride and dignity and to try to build for the future. Just, it's hard to unsee those kinds of things. And there's still, the book isn't written. It's not over. It doesn't mean he'll never be any good, but he ain't what they thought he was. And how disappointing he is, because again, when you select somebody, you're not selecting the rest of the world. That's what you chose over everything else that could have been there, given all your other weaknesses and where this league is. It's hard to call that anything but a failure.
Well, let me quantify it this way, okay? Cole Holcomb played every snap. There was a game where he got banged up, but he played every snap. He played over 1,000 snaps defensively this year. Jamin Davis played 580.
I'm surprised it's that much, honestly. I'm not trying to be difficult. I would have thought less.
Over the course of the entire season, that counts if you're out there on a fourth down, I'm sure, on special teams or whatever. But my point is, he played about half of the snaps of the fifth-round pick a couple years ago, Holcomb, at a time where you were desperate for linebacker production. So you cannot grade the linebackers. You can't tell the story of the LBs this year without the lead being Jamin Davis. You took a linebacker at 19 overall to fix a problem. Rivera last year, the most critical he was of this team publicly, other than maybe Dwayne Haskins, but that was more with his actions. But the most critical he was at any point, the closest thing to like a Jay Gruden tell us how you really feel press conference is he would bash linebacker play pretty routinely. And I don't think it's a coincidence that he played linebacker in the league, that he was part of the 85 Bears. Mm-hmm. I think he probably takes that position more personally. Jack Del Rio was a linebacker. Like, they're probably going to grade pretty hard.
Yeah.
The least surprising thing ever was that they then used their first-round pick on a linebacker. But, Danny, they did it because they were desperate for a middle linebacker. Because you can't be great on defense unless you got a good one. And you can't be exceptional on defense unless you got a really good one. And they swung and they missed. And so, guess what? Going into the offseason, outside of quarterback, their biggest need on the entire team is middle linebacker.
Despite using a first-round pick last year on one. You know, like, that's just, it's just hard to swallow.
It's tough.
Yeah. And so then the other guys that play, you know, David Mayo, you know, special teamer that gets thrust in action, perfectly fine veteran, but come on. John Bostic.
All those guys, whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really, to me, if we're talking linebacker, you give Collins some credit, you talk Holcomb, you talk Jamin Davis. But here's where we are now going into next year.
Mm-hmm.
Holcomb starts on one of those three spots on the, you know, one of the two on the outside, okay? They're going to have Jamin Davis, hopefully, start and play every down on the other side, right?
You would think.
If Landon Collins is here, that might change, because how do you use him and Jamin and Holcomb? I don't know. But we'll see if Landon Collins is here. What do you do at middle linebacker? Is that your splash free agency spot? Now, splash free agency didn't work for them this offseason, necessarily. They spent double-digit millions of dollars AAV on three guys. Fitzpatrick got hurt in week one. Curtis Samuel caught six passes. And William Jackson was paid like a cornerback one and didn't play like one. But it doesn't mean you stop going on dates because you've had a couple of really embarrassing ones.
You got to go upgrade.
Do you spend on middle linebacker? Can you really draft a Mike linebacker at the top of the board again? If they trade for a veteran quarterback, just play along here, hypothetically. Mm-hmm. Let's say they go get Carr or Jimmy G or Carson Wentz. And so they're not drafting a quarterback. And now they're on the clock at number 11. Can you take the best linebacker in the country there? Can you move back five picks and take a Mike at 16?
Not to me.
Why not?
Your offense stinks. You can't spend back-to-back years on linebacker. You just can't.
So the offense stinking to me, bigger deal. I think that you can't let last year's mistake hinder the process this year.
It's such a precious asset.
Don't you agree that that's a pivotal position?
It's an important position, yeah.
I think
it is.
It's massive. I mean, you look at good defenses. championship-level defenses. They got dudes at that spot. Like, you have to go get someone. And if you don't do it in free agency, you're not finding a star inside linebacker in the middle rounds. I mean, that's, you know, Cole Holcomb, we're saying, is a nice little player. He's a good find. Most of the time, it doesn't work out that way. Mm-hmm. But he was a fifth-round pick. Perry Riley at LSU was a fourth-round pick. Like, that's what you're looking at. Yeah. If you're doing it, you got to do it earlier, but you can't do what you did last time.
Yeah, you can't have a, I don't know what you want to call it, you can't have a Downey Brown situation where, oopsie-daisy, the third-rounder doesn't work, and you certainly can't do it with another first-rounder that flops. So to me, I'm going in free agency. I'm going to get something tried and true, even if it means it's not a star, right? I'd love to have a star there. I'd love to have a stud at that spot. I'm just going to go ahead and get, you know, your Quan Alexanders, who may be a free agent from New Orleans, or, you know, I don't know, Christian Kirksey, who was in Houston. Not world beaters, but I'll bounce around Packers, Browns.
He's
I'll
a good
pay
player.
A little bit, right, just to make sure I've got something steady there. Upgrade from Bostic/Mayo, and if I'm allocating resources, it's on the offensive side of the football.
So what's our grade for the linebackers this year?
Mine's a D, same as the defensive line, even with Holcomb. So I'm adding up everybody.
Mine's a D-. I thought about an F, but I think then it's just Jamin Davis is on my mind, you know?
Same here.
Holcomb
was good.
Yeah, Cole Holcomb deserves better than that. And honestly, the second half of the year, and not to beat a dead horse with Landon Collins, but the way he played down the stretch probably deserves better than that. If we're actually calling him a linebacker, if we're assigning that success, you know, some of the Buffalo packages, the heavy three safety stuff that they ran,
mm-hmm.
if you get credit for that as a linebacker, then it's not an F. It wasn't a failure. Because there were a couple games, go back and watch the Denver game is the one I would point to, as I said earlier. There were a couple games where I thought he was a really, really high impact and a difference maker. So yeah, maybe it's D-. But it's hard to give them anything better than a D when the guy that was supposed to change everything changed things in a negative way.
Yeah. Because, again, there's two ways to look at the Collins thing. Hey, it's a positive for Collins. I look at that as a negative, where I go, my linebacker position, despite using a first-round pick, is so bad, my best option is to convert a safety to get beaten up. You know what I mean? I know that's maybe glass half empty, but I can't help but feel that way.
Ryan came up with a topic for the new stadium that I love, and I want to discuss this with the stadium in the news yesterday. Fox 5 in town, I believe, actually, I saw has some comments from Larry Hogan today, a reaction to what happened in Virginia on their news tonight. But they've been on this stadium beat pretty hot and heavy the last couple of days. New stadium coming up. What is something that you would say is non-negotiable that must be included? So maybe we're talking about, it's got to be metro accessible. Needs to have a dome. Has to be field turf. You know, what is your thing where you go, if it's not fill in the blank, don't even start the process? If you're not going to give me blank, mm-hmm. you failed. What is your non-starter that must be included in the new stadium process? We'll get to that next, and we'll take your calls on that at 800-636-1067. We're Grant and Danny on The Fan.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Danny, what's your number one streaming service or app that you use to watch programming on right now?
Oh, it's very tight between Disney Plus, Amazon Prime, and Netflix. I'd probably say Netflix by hair.
Last couple of weeks, I've been in heavy rotation with HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good, especially old shows that I used to love.
Oh yeah,
on HBO Max, and just new stuff that I've been watching. You know what got me into it was when you gave me Mayor of Easttown.
Yes.
Rolled through that. But since then.
Are you saying Mayor or Mayor?
I think I'm saying Mayor of Easttown.
Mm-hmm.
Mayor of Easttown. You know, Mayor of Easttown. Good show. And I don't know, heavy rotation like a washing machine since
then. It happens. I mean, you sometimes forget, oh, yeah, that's right. You know, Jack Ryan was on Amazon Prime. What else is there? Or, oh, that's right, Narcos is on Netflix. Then you kind of get back into that rhythm.
Got a little update for you on robot umpires coming to a ballpark near you. Want to hear about it?
What?
Well, I don't know. This is from our friends at Axios. The automated ball strike system, ABS, the tech powering what's known as robot umps, is inching ever closer to the big leagues. Driving the news, the independent Atlantic League. So this is the Atlantic League Professional Baseball we always talk about.
Uh-huh.
They partner with MLB since 2019. Last week announced it was doing away with robo-umps after testing them for the past season and a half. This wasn't because the experiment failed, which is what everyone's doing. I had people in my Twitter timeline like, so bad long, robot umps, you know, thanks a lot for nothing, told you.
Human error is beautiful.
Exactly. It's actually the contrary. The league explained that its own assessment of ABS was complete and that an MLB affiliate league would continue testing it. So, in fact, they're going from non-affiliated baseball to affiliated baseball.
Oh.
They told Major League Baseball, they partner with them, hey, we'll be the first guinea pig here. We'll do this for you for however long. And so they did their experiment. They're done their experiment. Now they've turned it over to MLB. This confirms that AAA 2022 could be the place because apparently there's a job posting recruiting ABS techs in 11 AAA markets. So this year, I believe, 2022, we could have robot umps.
Here we go, robos. Here we go.
Let's
here
go.
We go, robos. Here we go.
Let's go.
Oh, I'm so in.
Could happen in AAA this year.
Let's go, as the kids say.
The informal term, this ABS, not analytic brake system, but this term,
mm-hmm.
calls to mind a basically, as they write here on Axios, this dystopian future ruled by robot overlords, ABS, still requires a human umpire to stand behind the plate. The technology is from a Danish golf startup, TrackMan.
Mm-hmm.
It determines each pitch is a ball or a strike, then feeds its call to the ump via an earpiece. So it'll be like, ball,
Steve.
Strike. And then he relays the call to the players. The ump will make calls like check swings, interference, plays at the plate. You still need a human to do that. Nobody's losing a job.
Yep.
There's still a guy standing right behind home plate like everybody wants.
He can still make it about himself.
He's still going to be able to throw people out that don't deserve to be thrown out. He's still allowed to pretend like everyone came to see him. He's still allowed to go yell at Bryce Harper because he's upset that he got to the big leagues at 19. ABS simply eliminates guesswork from the strike zone. That's what we're doing here. But for all of you who were tweeting me this morning, the link saying, ha-ha, you lose. It didn't work. Settle down with your little victory lap. You might want to stop your victory lap long enough to realize could be in AAA this year, friends.
It's coming.
The it's robots coming. Are coming.
Winchet is coming. Bring it forth. No more CB Buckners. No more Angel Hernandez's ridiculous zone. None of it. End the tyranny of John Hirschbeck calling pitch outs strikes. No, sir.
We got to keep hammering out the tech because there were a few viral videos of some really bad calls
sure.
by the umpire robot.
Yeah, there's some misses. Hold up the percentages. Hold them up. One is 99 and then some change. The other's in the low 90s.
And ta-da! Last year, I'd have to do some digging. I don't think it was probably at over 99 yet, to be honest with you, because there were glitches. But I say all that to say, eventually it's going to be over 99. That's where we're going toward. And they're not going to put it at the major league level until we get there. So if some AAA games get affected, so be it. But in the meantime, we're headed toward robots at the major league level. And I'm happy about it. I know you are as well.
If we can get, I mean, there's so many things I want. If we can get robots just to take the balk call away from Bob Davidson, for example, I'll get steamed up.
That'd be nice.
Like the Joe West can't throw anyone out robot. Give me that one. I want all of it.
Remember, let's do a Ryan Explains It All on this technology, because he's been, I mean, I can just tell the guy's crestfallen.
He's chomping at the bit.
It looks like he's ready to cry. We're talking about this. He's moved in his seat more than like a kid on an airplane on the eighth hour of a flight.
You fidgeting, Ryan?
Yeah, I'm not happy about this robo-ump.
I'll get happy.
I think it's terrible, because when you think about it, what's the best thing about baseball?
Human error, right?
Human error is fun. Because it causes Davey Martinez to pick up a base and throw it on the ground. It causes Joe Girardi
to
pull Max Scherzer's pants down and have him check it for pine tar. That was terrible. Sorry.
Better than Trey Turner being called out when he should have been safe in the World Series, right? Okay, human error. Yeah, that's the best stuff.
That was terrible. But then
all of that still, the robots are not ruling on any of the stuff that you've used as an example.
I know. I just like human element of things. I think there's some things that shouldn't be technologicalized, if I just use that word correctly.
When this game was invented, dudes like left the fields and the factories in like high stockings and like weird things.
Everyone's
and didn't
name
wear
was
gloves.
Lefty and Red.
You realize they didn't wear gloves. Nobody knew that in like 70, 80, 100 years, guys were going to throw 100 and start, you know, throwing cutters in the mid to upper 90s. They never had that design. The human eye can't do it anymore, man. We need the robot overlord. I'm not talking about Skynet. I just want someone where they go like, yeah, across that little field.
I don't know. I'll miss the human element of things. Because you just know it's going to happen one day, and I hate it. I can't stand for it. I'm not a robot guy. I hate them.
I understand. I'm afraid of robots too, man. I've seen the movies.
They're going to take over.
Get
it.
They'll take over.
Me, I've seen the movies.
Yeah,
I'm going to send you a link. I sent it to everyone who hates this. And then they come back to me and they go, it's not that bad. I'm going to send you a link of a Real Sports with Brian Gumbel piece done by Eric Burns. And the first time I saw it, which was about 6 years ago, I said, do this immediately. And we got to iron out some tech, but we're going to get there.
They solved it in tennis, man. I'm telling you, I don't watch tennis anymore, men's or women's, whatever. But it takes them a microsecond to figure it out. They got some sort of concussion impact thing that some dude at MIT designed, Hawkeye, whatever it's called. They go, that was out. Let's go to Hawkeye. Nope, it was in. Keep playing. Let's go.
I don't mean this to be disrespectful to you, mm-hmm. but whenever these talking points start and people go, you know what's beautiful about baseball?
The human
man?
Element.
The human error, brother. My eyes glaze over because I want the calls correct. Nothing else matters. When your whole argument is, it's cool that you never know if they're going to get the calls right, man. That's a terrible argument.
Because sometimes Lance Barksdale F's up.
Sometimes my manager loses his mind because the game's being robbed from him. We need to see him lose his mind and have a heart attack on the field, man. No, we don't. We need the calls correct. That's what we need.
And quickly.
I'm stuck in my own ways. So maybe I'm wrong, and maybe I'll like
back down.
No, I'm not backing down. I like the ways that I'm in. I like that I'm an old-time guy.
I don't feel comfortable just changing your opinion in 2 minutes.
No.
Let me at least send you the Eric Burns thing, then you change your opinion.
Okay, fine. But I still love Joe West, and I want to see him do his thing.
You love Joe West.
That's the worst take anyone's ever said on this show.
Oh, my God.
And Angel Hernandez.
I would like to personally apologize on behalf of Grant and Danny. That did not come up in a show meeting.
Because you made him feel strong is what happened. You made him feel all confident.
Ryan never said he was going to say that. And this show does not, what do the politicians always say? Like
we do not endorse that message.
Yeah, that message, though. Joe West is the best thing that happened to baseball, man. Whatever the opposite of that is, we do not agree with Ryan's
This
message.
Is not a Joe West show.
We're not a Joe West show.
That's absolutely ludicrous.
Probably a Joe West show for you out there. This is not that show.
We're an Angel Hernandez show.
Nope.
All right. Here, we're at the risk of me getting upset with Ryan for the first time ever. Like, really, really upset. All right, speaking of Ryan, he did give us a good topic.
Yes,
let's get into it. Yesterday, some news came down. Fox 5 saying Virginia, the team, they're talking, stadium. This is developing, right? I don't know if there's anything imminent. Doesn't sound like anything's too hot and heavy. But Virginia's talking. Larry Hogan apparently today is going to be on one of the local news stations discussing this. He's got a rebuttal. So we got some traction. We got some movement. But it has us thinking about the stadium. We're in the stadium mood. Danny, here is the question at hand. We're going to open up the Gambit DC listener lines on this at 800-636-1067. Next, I want to hear what people think. I've actually got a notepad out. A steno pad is out. I got a pen out. I'm going to write these down. I want to know what you guys think about this. Your number one prerequisite for a new stadium. If it doesn't have blank, then they didn't do it right. The number one thing it's got to have or it's a failure for you. Danny Ruye, the new stadium must
have access to. We'll tell you when we come back.
800-636-1067 on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
So, Danny, I was just talking to Ryan during the break. He thought there was going to be robots at every base calling safe, what? Fair foul. He thought there was no humans, even though we just kept saying there's still a human that says ball or strike and calls everything.
Seriously?
What he just told me, if he's being serious, Ryan, he said he thought there'd be a robot behind the plate that like raises its robot arm, ball or strike.
Yeah, I did. I did. 100%.
Like, this isn't a bit. Put Danny on.
I didn't say this so that Danny goes crazy. Even though we just kept talking about it. Did you think there'd be no human umpires on the field at all?
I mean, that's what I thought. I thought a robot was going to be making the calls at all four bases, everything on
because
the field.
Because he kept saying, he's like, well, what about, you know, at first base, if someone's fair there or not? I said, no. Because his whole point is managers aren't going to argue. I said, you're not allowed to argue balls and strikes anyway. You get ejected. It happens sometimes. Yes, it does. He said, what about, you know, at first base? I was like, well, the human umpire will make the call incorrectly, and then the manager will go nuts. He's like, but won't it be an umpire? Or won't it be a robot umpire? So he completely thought it was all robots everywhere, no humans anywhere. That's what he's thinking.
Yes.
I kind of don't know where to go from there.
Let's just move on then.
I'm not ready for that. I'm not. That's.
I still want you to watch my Real Sports thing because it explains everything.
I will.
Like, who builds the robots? Like, there's a robot?
I don't know if I feel better or worse about having argued with him last segment now.
It feels a little bit more abusive. Because you thought we were pro, like, Terminator, right? Where it's like the early models, it's like a floating hoverbot that's like right?
Danny, the one thing the stadium must have or it's a failure.
The easiest answer is probably access to public transportation. My answer is going to be different.
All right, don't give a bunch of answers. Give us your answer.
This is for me. You need to demonstrate to me publicly and show me the books, show me all the work.
Show me the ball.
Show me the ball. Yes. You need to demonstrate to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you did everything you could to keep opposing fans out of that stadium. You need to show me that you are getting Washington football fans to come to this stadium. That means no partnering with secondary brokers. That means extra efforts. That means everything that you can possibly do to show me that when I pay hard-earned money to go to this game, I'm not going to be screamed at by Cowboy, Eagle, Giants, or opposing team fans. If you could demonstrate that to me, you might have a customer again. That's my number one thing.
That's not done at most stadiums. I mean,
I know. It's the biggest problem here. It's a problem league-wide.
So, how would they show that exactly other than the one example you gave? How would they show that?
I'm not smart enough to know exactly, to be honest with you. Okay. I'm not a person that's in media, ticket sales, and that kind of stuff, and PR. They would need to say, hey, here's what happened in the past. We'll be honest with you. Our season ticket sales folks, they had quotas to meet, and they would just unload to StubHub. Or we would partner here with, you know, SeatGeek or do kind of whatever, and we'd sell blocks of tickets to Philadelphia fans. They'd come down and invade the stadium.
Yeah.
We're never doing that again. Here's what we are doing. If we can't sell it to a non-Washington fan, we'll hand it out at the elementary school in this neighborhood. Whatever you got to do for an extended period of time to show me that I'm not going to be screamed at in my own stadium, then we'll be able to have a combo.
So if I'm Jason Wright or Jason Paulson, mm-hmm. Grant Wright, I'm going, we've lost Danny Ruye. We don't need him. Because I got to worry about getting people in my stadium. Mm-hmm. I don't care who it is. And also, I don't know that that's a realistic ask, to be completely honest.
You never keep everyone out.
Yeah. So everyone's going to have a weird thing. Like, I need a ride to the stadium in a limo. Like, all right, that guy, I'm not worried as much about him. Mm-hmm. My thing that I'm going to go with as a necessity for me to feel like they did it right, and I think some people are going to dislike this, Daniel, retractable roof.
I don't dislike that at all.
I want a retractable roof.
I think it's dead on.
Do not screw it up. You better have a roof. That's not because on a Sunday in September when it's 62 degrees, I want the game outside, which I do. I don't want games inside. It's because I want a Super Bowl. I want an NCAA tournament. I want the coolest concert venue in the area. I want the ability to use it for anything and everything. And by the way, with that then comes obviously field turf. You can grow natural grass by having the technology like the Cardinals do where they bring the grass out into the parking lot and then wheel it back into the stadium. But I'm going to go with a retractable roof. Not a dome. Everyone says, oh, it's got to have a dome. A dome is 50 years ago. Retractable roof. It's a necessity for a new building.
I love that.
Let's go to Henry in D.C. Henry, how are you?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call.
Hey, bud.
And Ryan really gave us a reason to listen to him when Ryan explains it all in the last segment.
Ryan will explain robot umps at some point.
For those robots.
Yeah.
So, joking aside, the security at the new stadium can't allow people named Daniel Mark Snyder. And it needs to be by a Metro.
Ooh, okay, so he gave us a fake answer and a real answer. So he's going with Metro accessible,
uh-huh.
And he would prefer Dan Snyder not to be there.
The Snyder hates Metro stuff. I mean, he basically sued Prince George's County or sued to basically not allow people to walk from the Metro. He hates not getting the parking revenue. It's essential for just to welcome folks into the stadium.
Andrew and Stafford, you're in on team. Got to have a Metro stop too, right?
Got to have a Metro. Danny, yours was because they suck. And that's just a bad football team problem. I don't think that's a stadium issue. But I would say, other than Metro, no public funding.
No public funding is going to be an extremely popular take. It's certainly one that I understand. I don't think any stadium's getting built anywhere by Dan Snyder or Dan's paying for the whole thing. If it's in Virginia, if it's in Maryland, or if it's in D.C., wherever it is, those people are helping to pay for it. That's what I think is going to happen.
It's a balloon squeeze where even if they say, look, there's no public financing, it'll pay for itself with some hush-hush kind of stuff with taxes on
the
back end.
Was the Rams done just by Kroenke, or was that publicly funded in some way?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Can you look that up there so we have that info? I would love to know that. Just the last few in general. So we have the Rams, the 49ers out west. Maybe
Giants even, fairly recent, right? Giants Stadium?
In football?
In New Jersey, yeah. There was a Super Bowl there a handful of years ago.
Over 10 years now.
There haven't been that many new stadiums, right?
Minnesota since then.
Yeah, you're right.
I would say there's maybe six or seven since. But even, just look them up, I don't know. We'll get that information so we have it next segment. But my speculation, that's all it is, I don't know, would be Dan Snyder's not going to build the thing by himself. Now, it used to be that if you had leverage, Danny, you would leverage that.
Yeah.
And then you would get...
Who could be the best deal?
Right, a ton of help. He doesn't really have a whole lot of say. So he may have to pay for more of it than he wants to if nothing changes.
Yeah, the upfront cost may be there, but again, they'll find something cushy on the back end.
Number one prerequisite for a new stadium for you that it must have is what we're granting Danny.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
The Caps are in action at 7 o'clock in Boston. We're taking you up to pregame Caps hockey at about 6:40 tonight. We're Grant and Danny. Trevor Van Riemsdyk coming up at the bottom of the hour. The defenseman will help you get ready for Caps hockey. We caught up with him recently right here on G&D. If it felt last night like the NBA scoring just went nuts and every superstar in the league got off, it's because that's what happened. There were 26 25-point games in the NBA last night. Tied for most ever on any day. There were 15 30-point games, tied for the most ever on any day. And there were 8 30-point double-doubles, which had never happened before last night.
Wow.
So if you're a fantasy basketball player, your team probably had a field day. If you look at some of the MVP candidates and how they fared, Nikola Jokic, Joel Embiid, Giannis Antetokounmpo, just monster games everywhere you look. Jokic last night, 49 points, 14 rebounds, and 10 assists.
Ho-hum.
That guy's unbelievable.
He can barely touch the rim, that guy. And I'm joking. I mean, he's so unathletic when you look at some of the other dudes and how they move around. But he's so unbelievably skilled.
He is an amazing passer for a big guy.
For anybody.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. My favorite big guy passer ever was Vlade Divac with the Sacramento Kings back in the day.
He was great.
Him and Weber.
Yeah, I was going to say, I loved Chris Weber because of how great a passer he was.
The best. But Weber was an athlete. Vlade Divac, maybe he was. He just didn't look like one. He looked like he was an old man. He looked like a kid in my fourth grade class's dad, like a balding guy who was goofy, and he just was such a good passer. And I was a Wizards fan who would watch like Jahidi White, who had bricks for hands, or Terry Davis or someone just couldn't catch a pass in the paint. You know, Calvin Booth is like just fumbling all over himself. And then I would turn on Vlade Divac, and he's like, putting the ball behind his back and through his legs and stuff.
And then when Divac got too old, they were just like, we'll just go get another guy. And Brad Miller came from Indiana and was doing the same thing. I'm like, why? We haven't had a single big man that not only could pass, but could actually catch a basketball when it was placed in their hands gently by a guard.
What number do you think Brad Miller wore? I've got a number in my head. It could be completely wrong. I want you to look this up.
No earthly idea.
Basketball references.
I'm going to say Brad. Again, I'm terrible at this. You're good at it. I'm going to say Brad Miller wore 14.
Okay.
Again, this is with no knowledge.
Again, this is one of those, I'm either going to be Grant Stradamus or this was a waste of everyone's time.
Slumdog Paulsonaire.
The number, I'm picturing him wearing number 52 for the Sacramento Kings. That's what's stuck in my head.
Show me Brad Miller.
Brad Miller for the Sacramento Kings wore number 52.
Unbelievable.
Let's go!
It's just so ridiculous you can do that.
Let's go. Brad Miller. I love those Kings teams. Love those Kings.
First of all, they were lovable. They got jobbed out of beating the Lakers in that game 7.
Robert Horry screwed him with a shot. I mean, not like by doing something.
Yeah, the ref screwed him.
Well, that's true.
And then like 2 years later, there was this huge ref scandal. Everyone's like, nothing to see here. Nothing to see.
Joel Embiid last night, 50 points and 12 rebounds in 27 minutes.
That's a pretty good per-minute ratio
for
there.
The 76ers. Luka Doncic, who's amazing, 41 points, 14 boards, and 7 assists. Mavs win. Trae Young scored 37, had 14 dimes. And then Giannis last night, 33, 15, and 7 as they pummeled the, I think they played Memphis last night. 33, 15, and 7. Just a crazy night in the NBA.
Guys are getting tired a little bit. I think you're going to see some nice scoring numbers as the league goes on.
That's what the league wants, too.
Yeah.
And they should. I mean, we're talking about it, but
space, man.
I don't know
threes.
If people want to see like 87, 82. Everyone's hoping for that 115, 111 game when they go. News out of the NFL really quickly before we get back to some stadium talk with you guys. Nick Bosa, with his concussion, is looking like he's going to play on Saturday for San Francisco, which is big news for them. They have to have him if they're going to have a chance against the Packers. He's going to have a play or not. So we'll see if they call him Joey Bosa on the broadcast 4 times like they did last week. And Jimmy Garoppolo, shoulder off of the injury list today. So not only is he going to play, which we knew, but apparently he's feeling a lot better. Jimmy Garoppolo, I don't know if you know this, pretty good looking guy.
Handsome,
that guy.
Handsome. If this was a handsome contest, 49ers by 30. It ain't.
It's not that. It's just not. All right. One thing you got to have at the stadium for it to be a success. Danny says a valiant effort to keep other fans of other teams out of the stadium.
Yeah, a demonstrated concerted effort.
I went with a retractable roof. I'll go to Darius and Ryan here in a second. But first, let's go to Maddie and Stafford, who's been waiting patiently.
Maddie.
Matt, if the new stadium doesn't have what, you're going to be a salty dog.
So when they reach an agreement on a new site, you got to find a unique element from that location and build around that in the landscape. You know, this is important. What you don't want is the broadcast crew having a blimp flying aerial footage from a half hour, 40 minutes away. You need there to be something that you can see from the stands, from around that location. So even if it's D.C., you're going to incorporate something. And if it's Maryland, you incorporate something. If it's Prince William County, you better be on the western side where you can see those little mountains starting to peek out. Give them somewhere they want to have fun playing at. And I think that's the most important thing.
My guy wants some optics. And our guy, Matty, is a Steelers fan, so he's probably thinking open end zone. He wants one of those open end zones where you can't kick it toward, like at Heinz Field. So maybe the open end zone's facing whatever you can see out of the stadium.
But his point actually makes a lot of sense, right? Like, right now, when you go, here are shots of D.C., and everybody knows, that's cool, now go over to where the stadium is, you know, a long way away via traffic.
I wonder if people watching around the country even know. Like, oh, it's the game that Washington's at home. This is probably right near the monument. You know, they're showing us outside. When really it's like, no, buddy. Uh-uh. Landover, Maryland's a different place. We're driving out 202. You know, we're going over to Landover. Raljan,
stop by the Checkers.
Right. I love that Checkers.
It's a really good Checkers on 50.
I've eaten at that Checkers a couple of times. Garrett A. Morgan Boulevard's got a McDonald's. I've hit up a couple of times after a game, feeling good about myself after Terry McLaurin went for 109. I was like, I shouldn't do McDonald's, but Terry went for 100, so why not?
So he went for 100. I might as well, too.
Oh, you. You. Allegiant Stadium in Vegas.
Yep.
Funded combination of private and public.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing a lot of that here, by the way.
Yeah.
A little bit of research that I've got in front of me tells me there are, this is according to some guy named Gary who was a commenter on something. That's literally what I found.
Oh.
Just a guy named Gary. So I'm going to.
Gary's the authority.
My source isn't even Wikipedia. It's Gary McAdam, a New York Giants fan since 1984. That's who this
guy is. That's his criteria.
That was him.
He loved the Crunch Bunch and Harry Carson.
Somebody asked the question on one of these sites, where are the only three NFL stadiums that were 100% funded with public money? Apparently, that's all there is. He says, one, New Era failed, formerly a Rich Stadium in Buffalo. So the Bills, funded by a municipal board issued in 1971, cost about $23 million. That's just a different time altogether, to be honest with you.
That's just different.
That's 17 years before I was born. Raymond James Stadium, which is a beautiful stadium. If you haven't been there, awesome place. If Washington goes there to go check out a game, love Raymond James. Went there for the 99 playoff fiasco in the second round, the last time where I had any hope. right before the snap, and then the Brett Conway, Brad Johnson issue holding the Dan Turk snap. Built to replace the aging Tampa Stadium, opened in 1998 entirely, $168.5 million at the time, was born out of the public purse via a half-cent sales tax that they approved in Hillsborough County. Voters had to vote on it in 96. It was like a half-cent sales tax to get a new stadium, and they said, bring us that stadium. Make it have a pirate ship and cannons that go off. I don't know if they said that, but that's what happened. And that's apparently completely publicly funded. And then this guy, Gary, my source here, he says every other current facility is either entirely privately financed, MetLife Stadium, Foxborough Stadium, the new stadium for the Chargers and the Rams, and Darius mentioned in Inglewood is privately financed, or a mixture for everything else. And that's Levi. $114 million of the $1.3 billion was raised privately, so that's mostly public.
Right.
But they call that like a split thing, even if it's mostly public.
It's good nuggets. I mean, again, deals are struck. So when people go, no public financing, I was just telling Darius this during the break, that sounds good up front, and everybody gets to pat themselves on the back. But the whisper quiet thing that we usually happen there is, yeah, we'll give you a tax break for 20 years, right? So we're not giving any money up front, but you'll earn that money back by not having to pay your normal share of taxes on the land and different assessments and the rent and other kind of stuff that was due. Even though we're not giving you $100 million, we're in effect giving you $100 million on the back end.
The thing that this guy TJ wants, Danny's going to hate so much. So I'm going to go right to him.
Go ahead, Tej.
Because Danny, the 85-year-old in your heart, is going to come out right now.
What? Hey, guys.
Yeah, man.
This is, here's my idea.
Who's this?
I would like something like the Boise State deal. Let's go with either, you know, if we're staying with burgundy and gold, let's go with a burgundy field, maybe gold end zones.
Danny's going to hate this so much. Don't say what you think yet. I would go. I kind of love the idea, to be honest. I'd go burgundy and gold every 5 yards. Burgundy paint and gold paint the whole field. It's like if you take a helicopter and go up really high, you look down, it's just burgundy and gold everywhere. But Danny, how do you feel about that?
First of all, I really appreciate you making the call and listening to the show.
Where
would you put the elephants and the clowns and the dancing bear and the jugglers and the guy that eats fire and the bearded lady and the people that guess your weight? It's a carnival, dude. It's a circus sideshow. Make it look like an NFL football field, a professional one, please. Let's start with being able to grow grass after September 1st.
No, we're not going to do grass.
Or at least have a field that looks the right color.
We're doing field turf.
That's awesome. Master that before we start painting it different colors.
I would do green field turf. But if they did burgundy and gold just for a day, burgundy and gold carpet, roll it out, let's do it.
You want to paint certain parts of the field certain ways, like a little logo here, a burgundy end zone ones. Cool, man. That's home field. That's what it looks like.
I do think that the entire end zone should be painted. I don't like just the letters. Like, give me right from where that meeting that white. It's not chalk. It's actually just outline because it's a field turf.
Yeah, yeah.
I want a completely burgundy end zone with gold Commanders across it. It may not be Commanders.
It also might not be Commanders. I mean,
but it's probably Commanders.
It could be Commanders.
Let's go to Darius. Darius, the one thing that has to happen at the new stadium for you to be excited.
There has to be a moat.
Good call.
That's a nice
throwback.
I wasn't ready. I was like, what's Darius going to say?
Everyone's going to get that, but the real ones know, as they say.
Right, right. My original answer actually was retractable roof as well. I think that's a big thing for me, especially considering weather around this area. You just never know what you're going
to
get.
You'll have gone to your last game being rained on or sitting in snow.
Oh, that would be lovely.
Yeah.
That would be absolutely lovely. But since Grant already said that, I'm going to go with, I need a all-world video and sound experience. The last game I attended was that Cowboys game, and the sound had never been worse than it ever been. Now, I sat up in the 300 level, the club level, where, you know, some of the seats are gold, some of them are burgundy, nobody knows what.
Still don't get how that pattern works or how they
Nobody understands anything.
My best guess is that when a seat is broken, they only have one color to replace it with, and it's not the right color.
Of course.
But there's no rhyme or reason. It makes no sense. Because it's yellow section, right?
It's a yellow section,
right,
yes.
But then there's just a litany of burgundy seats strewn about.
There's some black seats up there,
it
too.
It looks so weird
black?
On TV.
Yeah, there's some black. Some of them have like a black, kind of like a rubber padding to them. Yeah, because you know, in the lower bowl, a lot of them are
based on like
hard.
Kyle Schwarber hit a homer that landed there.
No.
Because a couple of his homers may have landed there.
It's possible, yes.
But I don't think that's what it is. They do that at Fenway. There's like one red seat. It's like, oh, Ted Williams hit a ball there. I'm like, first of all, everyone's lying. That's 496 feet. He didn't do that. But we'll all pretend like he did. That's number one. Number two, no. Please make the seats match.
It looks so bad on TV, and it's like they don't know. They have to know, right? But no one does anything about it.
I always thought, I was like, oh, this makes, it says spell something out. Like if you, from a certain angle, or if you go
E-M-P-T-Y?
Really, if you go really high up in the air, this spells something out, but it doesn't. It doesn't say empty. It says nothing.
Oh.
It just doesn't. All right, sorry, Darius. Now I'll go back to you. So then what else do you have?
Yeah, so again, the visual, the video and audio experience, it has to be state of the art. It has to be all world. Again, like I said, the last time I went, it was the Cowboys game, and the audio experience was terrible. You couldn't hear anything. Now, it had probably had a lot to do with the Cowboys fans and their overbearing annoyance of being in the presence of that stadium. But overall, you couldn't hear the in-game announcer. You couldn't hear the lady who was on the sideline doing like skits and bits with, I don't know, some fan kicking a field goal and stuff like that. You couldn't hear anything. You couldn't hear any of that stuff. You need a better audio experience in a stadium like
it's
that.
It's so important.
Yeah. I mean, I remember going in the upper deck years ago, just last minute. I got tickets to the Jaguars game, Redskins-Jaguars. It actually ended up being a great game. It was an overtime win. But just like Darius said, I couldn't hear or understand what any of the big things that came up.
That is, I don't even know if it's sneaky, but I'll say that is sneaky, so important.
Yeah.
And I assume that just comes with the territory of a new stadium, that it sounds great. But you need to stay on top of that. I don't care if every 5 years, and I'm spending someone's money for them now, you got to redo it.
Oh, yeah.
It's so vital. It's because it really does improve your experience so much. Like at the Raiders game, brand new stadium, obviously Allegiant Stadium, it was incredible. When we went out to Vegas, now I know you thought it was way too loud, but like that arena, T-Mobile Arena,
uh-huh.
And I know it's different with an arena or a stadium, but remember just how like you could hear everything.
It was crystal clear.
It was so loud. But you could hear everything.
You could make it out. That's the key. It's
your ears
easy to
were hurting for an hour after you left.
They were ringing. I'm not even joking. Like, it's easy to turn the volume up and have a that's cool sound, bro. Yeah. I remember the 80s too. But you could hear just like the guy was chatting with you.
The worst experience of my life. Let me think. There's probably been a time where I like cried over something sad, but the worst non like life threatening experience of my life. I went to a Drake concert. At Capital One Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what it sounded like the entire time. Which song is this? Which one is he doing now? Cool.
Is this the Hotline one? Do I like this one?
Is he saying he's going to... Is there something about a phone? Something about his phone? What's he saying about his phone? That was my experience
That's
for an
tough.
Hour and a half.
That's tough.
Now, I also, it took me forever to get in. There was a lot of issues.
You were all salty
that night.
Coming in, yeah.
By the time I sat down, I'd already made up my mind that I hated Drake and I hated everything about the night.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't help that I was going, which song is this? What's he saying? And I don't blame Capital Arena. I've been to a lot of concerts there. I blame Drake mostly.
Okay.
Because he was so busy that week probably like watching Raptors games that he forgot to do any tests.
He's a very important Raptors fan.
He forgot that like, hey, maybe someone might want to hear your concert when you go to that arena. He's like so busy just trying to get in on the huddle and coach the team, being a jackass, not knowing his role, that he just completely forgot maybe Grant's going to want to hear what I'm saying.
He likes the Raptors, Grant.
So they didn't do a sound check or anything, I bet. He's like, I could do the sound check or I could just coach the Raptors tonight. And then be in right before the concert tomorrow.
He's the only person that likes a professional sports team, Grant. You have to understand his perspective.
Drake caught some shrapnel there. It wasn't, you know what? I apologize, Drake. Maybe I just had a bad night. And maybe it was good that I couldn't hear anything you said for 2 hours. You probably would have talked a lot about how you coached the Raptors to a championship that time.
That time.
What other teams are you going to pretend to like for a while? All right, Ryan, you're up.
All right, so I have two things. I need on-field suites, like kind of like a club atmosphere, kind of like what they have at AT&T Stadium. I need the opposing team to be a little rattled by some drunk fan.
You get sized for that
at 12:30 p.m. in the afternoon.
So they have that at Allegiant, by the
yes.
way. They've got the all you can eat, all you can drink, and then you walk right out at midfield.
Exactly.
And it's sweet, I guess is the word, but it's basically like everyone knows what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. It's standing room only.
Yes.
Behind the team.
Yes.
You're just right behind the sideline.
Exactly. Well, I want it close to the opposing team specifically, and as they come out, I want some drunk fan yelling at them, saying some things that you'd never want to be repeated. Second off, I want a cool intro as they come into the game. I want burgundy and gold flashing lights as they come out of the locker room.
Is this just a ribbon board? Is this on the big screen or
big screen
in the whole arena?
In no, that
or
too,
stadium.
But as they come out in that tunnel, I want it flashing burgundy and gold. And that Lincoln Financial Field, as the Eagles come out, they have these cool, ugly green lights that are just kind of shining on them, and it looks so cool.
Couldn't they do that now at FedEx?
I don't think they have the technology.
Yeah.
We're talking about like an upgrade to light,
no, but
sound,
they
everything.
Invest millions of dollars and just start doing that for the next 6 years, starting this year?
Well,
you'd
not
think,
not really in an outdoor stadium. Or yeah, not really in an
oh,
outdoor
Oh, so you're
stadium.
Saying in a,
yes.
a retractable roof, like dark environment,
exactly.
it looks fire.
And in, like in that little dark
the
tunnel.
Link is outdoor.
The Link is outdoor, and that's when I saw that, I was at the Monday Night Football game in 2017.
The nighttime game.
So I saw that, and I was like, oh my God, this is so cool. Like
and then you went back to FedEx, and you're like, wow, they have an inflatable helmet. That's neat.
Yeah, and also, I would love Coke products. Give me Coke products in the stadium.
I'll be honest with you. Ryan gets a lot of grief. Takes a lot of flack on this show. I've never said anything. Danny's never said anything. More important or better than what he just said.
I endorse that.
Thank you, guys.
If it's not Coke, just move the team. Coke's delicious, right?
Yeah.
We all agree to that? Let's go to George in Silver Spring. Hey, George, how are you?
George, how are you?
No, I don't think so. Why would they put that in the stadium? I think that's a bad idea.
George, you went on hold for that? That's gross, frankly.
I hope they don't include that in the stadium.
I wouldn't want that.
Let's go to Freddie in Fairfax. Hey, Freddie, how are you?
Hey, guys, I love your show.
Thanks,
I have
bro.
A nice, nice suggestion. For me to be happy going there, I want in-seat video. I want to be able to, when the play's over, watch the replay. They've got to have a video feed in that stadium, and there's got to be a way to tap into it. I think that would enhance the experience greatly.
I would love that.
Love that.
You would think that there's a way to, like, I'm on an airplane now at 35,000 feet, and I got a nice little high-definition TV watching the Saints and the Cowboys on Thursday Night Football, like 15-inch screen in the headset right in front of me. You got to be able to pattern something after that or have a little screen right there. Now, that is a high cost. I mean, that if you're putting 67,000 little TVs in, not to mention all the maintenance keeping up with all
that.
Because
I don't know if you could do that for every seat. You could do it for sections somehow. But if you're down really low close to the lower bowl or like down close to the field, I mean – how are you going to have that?
But as silly as that sounds.
Oh, it's a great idea. It's the right idea. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'd be cool. You could never do that. That's the type of thing the NFL has to figure out how to do if they're going to have people come to games in the future.
Mm-hmm.
It's too fun for me and good for me to sit on my recliner with my chips and dip and Andrew Siciliano's ears or Scott Hansen, right? I mean, it's just too good.
That's right.
Red Zone's too good. These games, the Sunday ticket, it's too amazing. I need to watch another game at my seat while I'm watching this game.
It's the NFL's fault for making their product so TV-friendly and making their product so good is that I want to experience it as opposed to, you know, spending hundreds, making it a 7, 8, 9, 10-hour day.
It is time for your power play ahead of Capitals Hockey right now on G&D.
It's time for Granddaddy's Power Play, presented by American Standard Heating and Cooling and MidAtlanticComfort.com.
It's a power play goal!
7 o'clock puck drop in Boston tonight, Danny, home of the Bruins. Pretty good team, 22-12-2 in the Atlantic. Washington finally got an overtime win. Hopefully we're avoiding overtime tonight as fans watching the Capitals, where they are 1-7 in that extra stanza. But they needed those 2 points against Winnipeg. They'll try to make it 2 in a row this evening.
Boston's won 6 of 7 coming in, including a drubbing of our Washington Capitals here. So they're playing pretty good hockey. This Boston team isn't the Boston team of a little over a month ago when they were kind of scuffling. They're on the rise in their division.
It's not who you play. It's when you play them.
I would
have preferred to have played the Bruins, as you said a couple weeks back. Alex Ovechkin right now, your NHL leader in points with 55. Ovi, man. He's 36 years old. He's leading the league in points. You check out the goals column in the National Hockey League right now. Your leader in goals, Alex Ovechkin.
You don't have to scan very far down the page.
27 goals on pace for the Richard. I mean, that guy, if the Caps win the division and he keeps up this pace, he could win a Hart Trophy. It's been years since he's won the MVP award. He might be able to do that this year. He's having an incredible season. They need better goaltending if they're going to get back to the top of their division, though, and that means buckling down defensively. Game is tonight. That is your Power Play. You can hear it right here at 7 on The Fan.
Grant and Danny's Power Play. Presented by American Standard Heating and Cooling and MidAtlanticComfort.com.
Trevor Van Riemsdyk of the Capitals joined us yesterday. You'll hear that conversation coming up in just a couple of moments. For some reason, I feel like it's like 3 o'clock. I feel like we've been here for a half hour. The show flew by.
Oh.
And I feel like it's super early.
It's a good sign.
Do you have that vibe at all?
No, I'm exhausted. I'm done. I'm thank goodness it's 6:24 and change.
For Danny.
I gave it everything I had.
Grant.
Screw you, Brad Marchand.
Saying so long. Yeah, he can kick every rock. Very, very ugly and not a guy that I root for, although wonderful at hockey. But let's hope tonight's an off night for him and somebody punches him.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.